All right, we're beginning here with the new parak at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hemevi det mebedinat hayam." This is almost a direct continuation of the first Mishnah in the Masechta that talks about "Hemevi get mebedinat hayam." What he's supposed to say there, he's supposed to say "Befanai nechtav ubefanai nechtam." In this Mishnah, you have a deficit in some way to what he said. In all those cases, it's problematic, which is "Vamar befanai nechtav, avalo befanai nechtam." Says it was written in front of me, but not signed in front of me. Bifanai nechtam, avalo bifanai nechtav. It was signed in front of me, but not written in front of me. And depending on whether you hold like Rabba or Rova, that will make a difference. According to Rova, the only thing that we really need are Eidim Mitsuyim. So if you didn't see the Chatima, then that's a problem, because that's exactly what we need you for. We need Eidim Mitsuyim, and we need you to identify the fact that they were Eidim, proper Eidim signed on here. As far as the Bifanai Nechtav being absent for Rava, that's just a way to distinguish this from regular Kiyum Shtarot. So you don't mix this up with regular Kiyum Shtarot and think that Eid Echad is sufficient in Kiyum Shtarot. It's unique to get. For Rava, it's essential, both of them. You need the Ktiva Lishma, and you need the Chatima Lishma. And therefore, the absence of one of those two, you don't have the corroboration that it was done Lishma. Bifanai Nechtav Kulo, Ubifanai Nechtam Chetzio. So the entire thing was written in front of me, and a portion of it was signed, meaning one of the two Eidim is signed in front of me. Bifanai nechtav chetzio. In front of me, half of it was written. Ubifanai nechtam kulo. And then the entirety was signed in front of me. Pasul. All of these are problematic. We spoke about the first two already. The Gemara will deal with the latter two. Obviously, in the case where there's a chatima missing, then you run into the problems that we need corroboration of the Eidim. As far as some of the ktiva being missing, it's not so simple, because we already saw in the first perek that you don't need to see the entire ktiva. You just need to see a portion of it or hear that it was done. So that the Gemara will already address. Echad omer bifanai nechtav, vechad omer bifanai nechtam pasul. If one of them says that it was written in front of me, and one of them says that in front of me it was signed, that does not work. The Gemara will discuss this, but part of the takanat chachamim is the fact that the aid that is testifying here has to be the shliach. He has to be appointed as a shliach by the Baal to bring the get. And in doing so, he also gains the ability to utilize this takanat chachamim. Over here, where the two eidim come, only one of them was appointed to be the shliach. And therefore, the other aid doesn't gain the ability to use this takanat chachamim. So when he says either b'fanai nechtam or b'fanai nechtav, it doesn't help because he's not a shliach. Yes, if both of them were shlichim, then you could overcome that problem. That's what Rashi already says. V'en chaveru shliach b'havato mishum hachi pasul. So therefore, if, as you're saying, there are two, both of them were appointed as shlichim, then it would not be an issue. There is another deya in the Gemara that says both of them are shlichim. But kevin techad hu dika chatima viulo masir aktiva ati lechlufe b'kiyum shtarot the alma. The other daya says even if they were both shlichim, it's still problematic, because the whole point of saying b'fanai nechtav is to eliminate the chashash that this is like regular kiyum shtarot. But over here, when you split the edut between the chatima and the ktiva, it's not clear that the one who signed, who's testifying about the signing, is connected to the one testifying about the ktiva. And then you might get mixed up with regular Kiyum Shtarot. For one of those two reasons, there's an issue over here with regards to each aid separately testifying by B'finai Nechtav, B'finai Nechtam, either the Chisaron Shlichut, one of them is not part of the Shlichut, or the other possibility that even both of them are Shlichim, there's a deficit in the separation between the Chatima and the Ktiva, which is the whole point of that, is to show that this isn't regular Kiyum Shtarot, but when you separate it, you lose some of that value. Shnayim Omrim, Bifaneinu nechtav, v'chad omer bifanai nechtam. Two of them say that it was written in front of us, and one says, bifanai nechtam. It was signed in front of me, pasul. Again, in that case, it's pasul, because the same reason that we just said in the previous case, either they're not all shlichim over here, or the separation between the ktiva and the chatima runs into a problem of getting confused with regular kiyum shtarot. Rabbi Yehuda makshir. Rabbi Yehuda says, by the mere fact that you're testifying about the ktiva, that's enough to differentiate it between kiyum shtarot and gitin. You don't need to have one person or one set of eidim testify about the whole thing. The mere fact that you demand something about the ktiva separates it from kiyum shtarot, and in this case it'd be fine. Chad omer b'fanei nichtav, u'shnayim omrim b'fanei nichtam kasher. In the case that one of them says that b'fanei nichtav, and then two say b'fanei nechtam, that is kasher, the Gemara will explain this, but when you have shnayim already on the chatima, then you have to, don't necessarily have to worry as much about kiyum shtarot, because it's not an eid echad that is being mikayim the shtar at this point, and the confusion with regular shtarot is not going to be as acute in this type of case. Whether Rabbi Yehuda, where he's machshir, the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda's hechsher might also apply to the case before. Because Rabbi Yehuda, when he's machshir, when it is bifaneinu nichtav, and then one says bifanai nechtam, and they say it's pasul, Rabbi Yehuda's machshir, because you have somebody testifying about the ktiva, that same logic would apply to echad is testifying about the ktiva, and echad about the chatima, that same logic will apply. The mere fact that we have somebody testifying about the ktiva should eliminate that problem. And therefore, according to that daya, Rabbi Yehuda would be arguing not only on the case right before, but the two cases before, he would disagree and say those are kisherim. Now the Gemara says, ha tu lomali. Why do we need this Mishnah at all? Ha tanalei chadazimna. We already had this Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta that told us that a mevi get dinatiyam, tzarich shiomar b'fanai nichtav u'b'fanai nechtam. It's pretty clear what is laid out in the first Mishnah. This Mishnah just tells you that there's a deficit in what the first Mishnah demanded. So when it says, imahi, if it was from that, havamina tzarich vilo amar kasher. That's l'chatchila. That's what you should do. But if you didn't do it, it'd still be kasher bidyavad. Kamash malan, that if you don't have this, it's not even kasher bidyavad. I mean, the failure to say bifanai nechtav or bifanai nechtam ruins the get. Now, as far as Rabbah is concerned, you can't rectify that problem because lishma is essential to the get, and without this testimony, you're done. You can't fix it. The other hand, for Rova, you can't fix it through the corroboration of the edim. If you find two edim to testify, and that's what we saw later Mishnayot in the Perek, find two edim to testify about the veracity of the signatures to this get, then you can solve the problem. If you have that kiyum of the get through proper edim of the signatories to the get. But otherwise, you can't rectify it, and this b'fanai nechtav and b'fanai nechtam will come essential and make it pasul even b'di'avad. B'fanai nechtav chetzio, u'b'fanai nechtam kulo pasul. So this is what we discussed in the Mishnah. When only half of it is written, then it is pasul. Now, why is half pasul? We saw earlier, and that's what the Gemara is going to quote and say, hey, chetzio, which half did he see? Ilema chetzio rishon, if he saw the first half being written, v'ama Rabbi Elazar, afilo lo kotav bo el shita achat lishma shuvenu tzarich. If he just has the first line lishma, then he doesn't have to do any more. When we learned this on Daf Hamud Bet, we mentioned that Rashi, right, says over here, we quoted back there, he doesn't, it's not as clear on Hamud Bet, but Rashi over here says that you need shita rishona shaba shema ish vaisha vazman. So Rashi seems to indicate you need the, what's called the toref of the get, which is the main articles of the get, which is the man, the woman, and the time, which are the essential factors in the get. So as long as you saw those lishma, then you can assume the rest is written lishma. Tosafot back on Hey Amud Bet seemed to indicate that it wasn't necessarily those particular items, but it was just the first line. As long as the first line was written lishma, Tosafot says we assume that he continues to write it lishma. Why would the person, if he's writing a lishma, change all the mid-direction? So he says, the mistama sayamo lishma. So Tosafot over there does not specify particularly what has to be in that first line. As long as he began lishma, we assume he ended lishma. He might be saying the same thing as Rashi, or he might be saying something different, which is just beginning lishma is enough to end lishma. There is a standard language, but question of the, that's the first Tosafot in the Masechta says that get, gimel, tet, is 12. And therefore, the Gitin are written with 12 lines in them. So if that's the case, the Shita Rishona would be a standard line as to what is in the first line of the Get. But if that wasn't always the case that they had 12 lines, then Shita Rishona could include more or less information depending on how wide you made the Get. But, so again, Tosafot could be agreeing with Rashi, or Tosafot could just simply saying whatever, it doesn't matter what you write in the first line, as long as you began Lishma, we assume you're going to finish Lishma. Rashi wants you to get these Ikar points in Lishma because then everything else is secondary to those points. That's the main issue for Lishma, is the name of the woman, the man, and the dating, which are the main issues in terms of Lishma. There are others who say that you need to also have not only that, but the aspect of Ariat Muteret Techol Adam. that you are free to every person, because that's the ikar tokef of the get, what is essentially freeing or creating the sefer kritut. So that Rishonim that also require that to be written lishma, or to be seen that it was written lishma. So again, what's the minimum amount you need to see depends on which of the Rishonim, but either way, if you saw the first half of the get, you for sure covered whatever shita you want to talk about, you have covered that in terms of lishma. Ela amaravashi chetzio achron. When it says here that he only saw half of it, he only saw the second half being written, he didn't see the first half being written. And therefore, now you have an issue in terms of if we only saw the second half being written, then we don't know or we can't ascertain whether the first half was written lishma, and that's the essential part that needs to be written lishma. And even for Ravo, who says that the whole b'fanai nichtav is just to separate it from kiyum shtarot, the b'fanai nichtav has to be said about the ikar part of the get, not about some tofes, just the standard boilerplate language of the get. B'fanai nichtav kulo, u'b'fanai nichtam chetzio pasul. The entire thing was written in front of me, and half of it was signed in front of me, pasul. Okay, now we're going to have three shitot in the Amoraim over here as to when that is problematic and when that's not problematic. Amar Rav Chista is the first of the shitot. V'afilu shnayim me'idim al chitimat yad sheni pasul. Even if two edim come and testify about the second signatory, it is pasul. So that's very strange. Here you have him testifying about the whole ktivah, so we're done with that. He testifies about the first signature, so we're done with that. The only thing I have left is the second signature. Now we have two edim show up and say that it's fine, the second signature. My taima. What's the reason that Rav Chista says that that is pasul? O kulo b'kiyum aget, o kulo b'takanat chachamim. You can't use two vehicles here in order to verify the get. You can't use two methodologies. Either you use the entire thing with kiyum aget, that means like regular kiyum shtarot, so you have edim come and testify about the signatories to the get, o kulo b'takanat chachamim, or the entirety is done by the takanat chachamim, which is that the shliach who comes can say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, but he's got to cover the whole thing. You can't mix and match different methodologies for verifying the get. As to the reason why Tosafot speculates here, as to the reason why, it's an interesting reason, which he says, "Kasavar lo daika shliach kolkach shein kol ha'idut mitkayemet al yado." We said this in the first parak that part of the reason that the aid will be very careful about what he's going to testify about is because he has to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, which means that he basically is verifying or giving a stamp of approval to the whole get, and he knows then that the Beit Din he brings it to is going to start asking him questions about it because he knows everything and they can ask him questions. Because of that, he's going to be very careful to ascertain that he got the right information, that he saw everything that's there. That knowledge makes him a better aid, basically what the Chachamim say. So here, with the absence of a part of it, then maybe he starts to become less careful about what he is testifying about because the get will not be verified simply by his testimony. There will have to be additional testimony. So what Tosfot says is once you lighten the burden on that single aid, he starts to become less careful about what he saw, and he'll say things even though maybe they're not as true as they should be or as verified as they should be. So now Matkif lo Rova. Rova asks the question, which is the obvious question that we already posed about the position of Rav Chista, which is Mika Mide Dilamar Chad Kasher. That if one person had said it was kasher, it would have been fine. I mean, had the first aid just said, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, the whole thing would be kasher. Hashadika trei pasul. Now you have two aidim, which are better than one aid. Now you're going to make it pasul. Now Rashi here is the shitato. Back on Dav Gimel and Aleph, there was a machloka between Rashi and the Tosafot as to whether when a single aid comes to verify the get, is he allowed to say, yadati, I know this signature, and therefore it's good, or does he have to specifically say, b'fanai nechtab, b'fanai nechtam? Rashi said over there that the aid can use the terminology, yadati. I know this signature, and that works here. Just that Chazal gave him a language that he could also use, which is b'fanai nechtab, b'fanai nechtam, and that would also work. But it's no better than saying literally that he knows the signatories to the get. In terms of what Rashi says, is that's just as good. B'fanai nechtam means he saw the signature, so he knows that people signed it. If he says, I know the signature, that's the equivalent of saying that whoever signed it is a good person, it's a fine signature. So both of those should qualify according to Rashi. Rashi says, Dav Gimel Min Aleph, Mali b'fanai, Mali yodea ani. What's the difference if he says b'fanai, if he says that I know it? Tosfot disagreed on that and says that you cannot use Yodei Ani. Yodei Ani is a Kiyum Shtarot Lashon, and over here you're not functioning as a Kiyum Shtarot. You're functioning under a Takanat Chachamim that says you have to use Bifanai Nechtam. That is the language that works over here. Yodei Ani is for two Edim that come and testify. So Rashi, the Shitato over here says, Mi'ika Midei De'elam Echad Kasher. Is there such a thing where if the one aide said, Yadati, I know the signature, the whole get would have been fine? Hashadika Trey. Now you have two coming and saying, Yadanu, we know the signature, and it's Pasul. That's the way Rashi will explain it. Tosafot obviously can't explain it that way, but he says, what does that mean? That if one comes and says, Bifanai Nechtav, Ufanai Nechtam would be Kasher. Now the two aideen come along and say that, Yadanu, at the signature, why should that be any worse than the one aide saying, Bifanai Nechtam? So that's the way Tosfot will learn it, because he doesn't see this equivalence between Yodei Ani and Bifanai Nechtam. So now, El Amar Rava. Rava says that this is the case. Afilu hu ve'echad midi'im al chatimat yedsheni pasul. So he testifies about Bifanai Nechtav. On the first signature, he says Bifanai Nechtam. On the second one, he says, I know the signature, and another aide comes along with him and says that I know that signature. Rava says that's the case that is pasul. My time, huh? Why would you make that pasul? Meaning that you have the same question you would have in the previous case, which is, you have two aidim to the second signature. Him alone could have done it, according to Rashi, by saying Yodei Ani. According to Tosafot, by saying Bifanai Nechtam. Now that he has another person corroborating what he's saying, why shouldn't that be even better? So says, because this is something that could be confused with regular kiyum shtarot. And in that case, you would have 3/4 of the shtar being verified by one aide, and he would cause money to move. Basically, 3/4 of the testimony would be by this one aide moving the money. Now, truthfully, as far as kiyum yet is concerned, Rava admits here that it would be totally kasher. It wouldn't be an issue at all, because by the get, we don't have this issue. We simply need to know that it was written lishma, or bifanai nechtav is a way to prevent us from getting confused with other things. But then, all you need is a verification of the chatimot. Bifanai nechtav does that. And then the second half, when you have him plus another aide saying it, it would have worked. Why won't we let it work? Because of regular kiyum shtarot. In regular kiyum shtarot, if you have such a setup, you're going to be in a difficult position, which is that the individual testifies about the first signature, that it is his signature. Kiyum Shtarot, if he says the first signature is mine, and then on the second signature, he says, I know this signature, and he brings another aide that says, I know this signature, then when you have a regular shtar, there are two aidim signed on the shtar. The movement of the money is dependent on those two aidim. And the pasuk says, Al pi shnayim aidim yakum davar. Two aidim need to be the determining factors. That means one aide causes a half, and the other aide causes the half. In this case, one aide is causing 3/4 of this shtar to be verified or to be allowed to be used. Why? Because he's testifying about his own signature, which he's allowed to do. But then he's also testifying about the second signature and then bringing in another aide with him. So as far as the first signature is concerned, he is the only one that is verifying it. As far as the second signature is concerned, he's verifying half of it. That means that 3/4 of the verification here is taking place by one aide. And that's what it means here, that you'll end up with 3/4 of the money moving because of one aide over here. So therefore, he says, because you might confuse it with regular kiyum shtarot, and a regular kiyum shtarot, this would be problematic, meaning as opposed to by get, where this would be totally fine, by kiyum shtarot, it would be problematic, and we would not let it go through. So matkiv la Ravashi. Ravashi says the same question, basically, that Rava asked on Rav Chista. Ravashi poses to Rava, which is, Mi'ika mide dilum misikle ihudukule dibura kasher. Is it possible there's a case where if he said the whole thing it would be kasher? Hashadika chadba de pasul? Now that you get corroboration of what he's saying, that it is pasul, why would you ever say such a thing? Because in this case, if he had said the whole thing bifanai nechtam, according to Tosafot, then the get would have been fine. Now that he brings someone else to say that the signature is good, or corroborate that second signature, why shouldn't that be a fine signature? What about getting confused with Kiyum Shtarot? You already have Bifanai Nechtav. There is that aspect of it that's there. You're not going to get mixed up with Kiyum Shtarot. According to Rashi, if this one aide could say Yodei Ani about the first signature and the second signature, and now he just brings someone else to corroborate his statement about the second signature, Why should that make the situation worse? And it should definitely be a kosher get in that case. Ella, Amar Ravashi, afilu omer anihu eid sheni pasul. If he says, b'fanai nechtav, about the forget, then he says, b'fanai nechtam, the first signature, and he says, the second signature is mine, pasul. In that case, it's pasul, my taima. What's the reasoning over here? O kulo b'kiyum get, o kulo b'takanat chachamim. He goes back to the reasoning that Rav Chisda brought, which is, you can't mix and match these different methodologies. If you're going to use takanat chachamim, which allows the one aid to testify, then you got to use b'fanai nechtam through the whole thing. And again, according to Tosafot, that means he says b'fanai nechtam on the second signature. Or, according to Rashi, he said yodeh ani about the signatures that will also work. But he has to use the functionally, he has to do it as a kiyum aget. Oh, kulo, but kiyum aget means that you use regular two aidim for everything. And that means you gotta have two aidim through and through. Now, on Rav Ashi's answer, you can ask the same question that he asked on Rava, which is, how is it possible that something that one aid could verify, and now somebody better comes, and now it's worse off? Meaning that in the case he had just said, b'fanai nechtam, about the first and second signature, it would have been fine. Now that he says the second signature is mine, it's worse than the case where it was b'fanai nechtam. That seems to be a better verification of the get. Why should that be any worse than the case? I mean, that on Rav Ashi's answer, you could ask the same question that he posed to Rava, which is that his testimony shouldn't bring a deficit. It should only make it stronger, the fact that this get is verified. So Tos would ask that question. He says, "Vim tomar mi kamide dilo amar b'fanai nechtam kasher, mshum damar ani hu eicheni pasul." How could it be that that's the case? You have a better edut over here. And here the read, Kamosho Meir Berushami. This is what he says, the Chiamar Ani Hu Eid Sheni Naseko Nogea Beiduto. He says that on the second aid, then it starts to be like he's Nogea Bedavar. Because he becomes now a party to this get. And now there is reason for him to want the get to be verified, or the other way around. He wants his statement of B'fanei Echtam to be upheld, and therefore the second signature is important to him, because either way, it verifies the get. I mean that he has now some sort of vested interest in seeing the verification of the get. Whether that's because of his testimony, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. And therefore saying the second aid is a good aid, then upholds the remainder of his statement. Or the other way around, the fact that he's a signatory to this get, he has a vested interest in seeing that this get is verified because his signature is on the get. Either way, he's a nogeya b'davar in this case, and that causes a deficit rather than a better situation. And this goes back to the Tosfot, back on Bet Amud Bet, where Tosfot says over there that this aid that's bringing over here, who says, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, is not considered to be a real edut or nogeya b'davar because he simply is testifying to what already exists as a get that is already mikuyam. So he's simply verifying for us what is originally a good and kosher get. But over here, where he is one of the signatories, and he says it is his signature, it becomes a nogeya davar, that might cause problems with his fact that he's actually testifying about the get, because now he is a nogeya davar, and now he is part of not only the validation of the get, but also of the kashruta get. And therefore his testimony here might be more than simply just a validation. And as Tosfot said before, the only reason that he's believed is because he's a Giloy Milta. He's just giving us information about the get, not testifying about anything in particular. And therefore here, when he is one of the signatories, that changes, and that might make a difference here and be called a Nogeya Badavar. So as opposed to just saying, b'fanai nechtam, where he'd be a totally objective party, then we would say, fine, then it's a good get. Over here, when he all of a sudden makes himself a party by saying that the second signature is mine, that is makes it a little more questionable about his motives. And therefore, we would say maybe it's not as strong as saying b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Now, Tosfot is faced by a problem then, which is, why doesn't the Gemara give that as the reason? My taima okulo b'kiyum get, okulo b'tekanat chachamim. It just should have said, he is nogeya b'davar. That is the reason. So he says, ish lamar mishum d'alav taima gamur hu. It's not a real full reason. Ilav taima da okulo b'kiyum get, ein ze nogeya b'edut mamash. It's not literally that he's nogeya be'eduto. It is a quasi nogeya be'eduto. It in itself would not have been enough of a reason. But if you combine that with the reason of either you do the whole thing through takanat chachamim or the whole thing through kiyum aget, together they make it a problem with regards to this get, and we won't allow you to verify a get in this manner. So now you have these three different Amuraim trying to explain what the deficit is here when you say b'fanai nechtam kulo, u'b'fanai nechtam chetzio, and then what happened with the last signatory? So that's what Rav Chista, Rova, and Rav Ashi all gave opinions about what happened with the last signature that made it pasul. Rav Chista said even if two edim showed up, the last signature is pasul. Rava said if he and another aid testifies to the last signature, then it is pasul. Rav Ashi says that even if he says it's his own signature, the last signature, then it is pasul. So now the Gemara says, Tznan, our Mishnah says, Bifanai nechtav kulo, Bifanai nechtam chetzio pasul. So that is the case that we've just been discussing. Idach chetzio hechidami. What was the second half? What happened to it? Ilema deleka kathakama sayid alei klal. If you say that nobody testified about it at all, Hashka echad omer b'fanai nechtav, v'echad omer b'fanai nechtam, d'ha kamasayda kula ktiva, v'ha kamasayda kula chatima pasul. In the case where you have one aid saying b'fanai nechtav, one aid saying b'fanai nechtam, there the Mishnah says it's pasul, even though we have full verification of the edut in the get. Chetzio mibayi. Then why do you need to tell me the case where he says b'fanai nechtav, and then he corroborates only b'fanai nechtam chetzio? Of course it's pasul. If we had one aid testifying to the whole b'fanai nechtam, it wouldn't have helped you. Why, in the case where he testifies about half of it, what does that do for you? Ella, so what must be the answer? Must be that the case where you say chetzio is pasul, it must be one of these cases. Oke de Rava, oke de Rav Ashi. It's either the case of Rava or Rav Ashi, ulafuke mi Rav Chista, but to exclude the case of Rav Chista, meaning that both Rava and Rav Ashi think the case of Rav Chista is kasher, which is that if you have two aidim come and corroborate the second aid, that would be fine. But either of them hold that, either if it's the second aid is either corroborated by the one who's saying b'fanai nechtam plus another aid, or that person is saying it's my signature, in that case, chetzio, that would be pasul, according to Rav Ashi and according to Rava. And what's the chiddush in the Mishnah? That the case of Rav Chista is kasher. That's what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. Rashi over here says something, and that's because of the way that Rashi has the girsa in the Gemara. Our girsa in the Gemara is like the girsa of Rashi. And Rashi says here that the Mishnah has what we call a Mishnah Yetera. A Mishnah Yetera means that there's an extra line in the Mishnah that was unnecessary. We already have in the Mishnah a statement that says, if you have one aid testifying about ketiva and one aid testifying about chatima, it's no good. So once you already have that, if you the next line in the Mishnah is unnecessary to say, I have one aid testifying kulo nechtam b'fanai, chetzio nechtam b'fanai. Of course that's going to be problematic because you don't have a second aid over there being corroborated. So for sure that is Mishnah Yetera. So now what's that Mishnah Yetera coming to teach you? It must be coming to teach you a chidush. What chidush is it teaching you about? That's what the Gemara says now. It's either teaching you the chidush of Rava or of Rashi. And that's what Rashi says over here. To came into Matita Mishum Ributa Ata, our Mishnah is going to be a chidush. V'lo perush my Ributa Ata l'shminan. It doesn't tell you which chidush. Akorachach achieta rashay litfos hamiruba kavon Rav Chista. You can't take the biggest psol, which would be Rav Chista, el Rabuta Zutrate. You have to take the smallest psol, kagon Rava v'Rav Ashi. So Rava and Rav Ashi limit the chiddush of this Mishnah as to what is pasul. And in limiting what is pasul over here, one of their two opinions is correct. Now, Rashi goes on to say, well, that could be true for Rava, saying that Rav Chista is a bigger chiddush than him, but Rav Ashi could also say that Rava is the biggest chiddush. And if you're going after the smallest chiddush, then Rav Ashi is literally the smallest chidush over here. If that's the case, then you should have just said Rav Ashi is right, and not Rova. Why does it say here that Rav Ashi or Rova are right? So Rashi later on says that the wide line says, Vim tomar, hafuke nami de Rova, lo ashmina ilaha de Rav Ashi, hidu zutra, de Rova lami lo adifa mina, da bishar shtero nami pasul. So he says that Rova's chidush is no greater than Rav Ashi's chidush because in other shtarot it's pasul. Hilkach, Beget nami sheikh the mifsal mishum shar shtarot olo lichlof. Rashi in the end says that Rav Ashi and Rava's kiddushim are equal. And since they are equal, either one of them would be fine to be what the Mishnah is speaking about, to the exclusion of Rav Chista. And Rashi's point being that only items that are psulim by regular kiyum shtarot should also be psul here with regards to the get. Suppose the Rav Chista where the case there would be kasher by regular kiyum shtarot, and you're making it particularly pasul over here by the case of Gitin. And then the Gemara would continue now and say, Amar lo Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is now in trouble because Rav Chisda's explanation is that that's what the Mishnah means, that it's pasul. Then what's his chiddush in the Mishnah? Utameich. According to your reasoning, b'fanai nechtav, aval lo b'fanai nechtam lo mali. The Mishnah also has extraneous pieces like this. When it says, it's written in front of me, not signed in front of me, what do I need that for? Because if you know that when one says b'fanai nechtav and one says b'fanai nechtam, it's pasul, that certainly when you only have one guy saying b'fanai nechtav and nobody's saying b'fanai nechtam, it's pasul. Ela lo zu avzu k'tani. It is a style of writing in the Mishnah, which is not only this, but this. Not only this, but this. You tell a lesser chiddush up front, and then you continue to tell a greater chiddushim as you move through the Mishnah. Eino chanami, had you written the greater chiddush first, you wouldn't have had to write the first cases. But that's a stylistic, literary style of the Mishnah that they say not only this is pasul, but also this. Achanami, also our cases, lo zu avzu k'tani. And there's no chidush that you learn out of this Mishnah. That's what Rav Chisda will say, and that's why his explanation of the Mishnah he thinks is correct. Now, that's all according to Rashi. The problem with Rashi is that Rashi, in some sense, says that the greatest chidush is the one who minimizes the psul over here. The one who says that the least amount is pasul, they have the greatest chiddush. So Rova and Rav Ashi, who minimize the amount of cases where it'd be pasul, they're the greatest chiddush here. The truth is that, wouldn't you look at it the other way? You'd probably assume that the one who makes the more gitim kshirim, that's the bigger chiddush. Right? To make a get kasher is the bigger chiddush, not the fact that you make a get pasul. And therefore, there is a different girsa in this Gemara, the girsa of the Balamor, the Ramban, and many others who think that the girsa should be this way, which is, it's either Rav Chisda or Rova, lafuke mi Rav Ashi. It is Rova and Rav Chisda to exclusion of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi, in a sense, is the biggest chiddush. Rav Ashi makes the most gitin ksherim, and he's only posel that one little case where it's him testifying about his own signature. But every other case for him, the get is kasher. If you're going to minimize the chiddush, you'd want to say that it's either Rova or Rav Chisda who make the most gitin psulim. That's the easy path. The easy path is to make gitin psulim. The harder case is to make them ksherim. In a sense, Rav Ashi has the biggest chiddush. Because Rav Ashi's case seems to be the most far-fetched case, which is, how could it be if he said b'fanai nechtam that it would work? And in the case where he says it's my own signature, that it wouldn't work. That seems to be the biggest chiddush. And therefore, Rav and Rav Chisda are considered possible explanations of the Mishnah. And it's Le'afuke, Rav Ashi's case, where it clearly should be kasher. And therefore, the Gemara says that we understand Rav Chisda and Rova because they're excluding Rav Ashi's case and saying Rav Ashi's wrong. The cases that we're saying are pasul. Rav Ashi says they're kasherim, and that's the chiddush here. But Rav Ashi's thing to say everything is kasher, that's the farthest fetched abdaya, and therefore we are lafuke Rav Ashi, and to say Rav Ashi's shita is wrong. And then obviously the Gemara will continue, amalacha Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi will say that it's a lozu avzu type of Mishnah, and you're right, that my chiddush is the biggest chiddush, but it's true because the Mishnah just in a literary style wrote it that way. It's not coming out of the Mishnah Yetera. So depending how you view the biggest chiddush, Rashi is viewing it from the perspective of what, the more that you make pasul, the bigger a chiddush it is. And therefore for him, Rova and Rav Ashi are the lesser of the chiddushim, and they're to the exclusion of Rav Chisda. According to the other Rishonim, the more gitin you make sherim, the bigger chiddush you have, and therefore Rav Ashi has the biggest chiddush. And Rav and Rav Chisda have smaller chiddushim, and they're to the exclusion of Rav Ashi. And therefore you change the girsa depending on which of those two views you had. Now, Amar Rav Chisda, here we're going to go to a non sequitur. We'll understand from the context why maybe it was brought over here, but it's not necessarily relevant to our Gemara at all, which is Gidud Chamisha Umichitza Chamisha Ein Mitztarfim. This is the Gabei Halachot of Shabbat, in order to make an area that is a Rishuta Yachid. If the area that gives you 10 Tefachim, 10 tefachim is the size of a wall that you need in order to surround an area to be considered a reshut yachid. But over here, it's constructed of two parts. Gidud means, according to Rashi, a pile. So five of the tefachim are created by an elevation in the ground. And five of the tefachim are created by a mechitza being placed on top of that. Yeah. So you have 10 tefachim. Those two together will make you your 10 tefachim. Ein mitztarfim. They are not mitztaref. Rav Chisda makes a similar statement to what he said before, and that's what connects it to this Gemara. So he basically says, you can't use two methodologies for developing the 10 tefachim. Either it's all by elevation or it's all by mechitza. You can't mix and match these different methods. So that's why it's brought over here, because Rav Chisda made a similar statement with regards to get. Oh, kulo b'kiyum a get. Oh, kulo b'tachanat chachamim. So again, it has nothing to do with our sugya, but it's a similar language used by Rav Chisda. Rashi, as we said, explained it, that there was an elevation of 5, and then there was another mechitza around it of 5. Tosafot is upset by Rashi's explanation because the Gemara in Shabbat is replete with cases like that, like Shaul just mentioned here. If you dig a bore down 5 tefachim, and then you take the dirt that you extract from there and place it around the bore, and that makes a mechitza of 5 tefachim, that's considered to be a shuta yachid. You can combine the depth of 5 tefachim and a mechitza of 5 tefachim. That is not a problem at all. So that can't be the case that we're speaking about over here. And therefore, Tosafot says that the case here is one of two possibilities about the unique case. Either it's a case where you have adjacent chatzerot. In a case where you have adjacent chatzerot, and one is elevated 5 tefachim above the other. And then that upper chatzer also has a wall on it that is 5 tefachim high. So there's actually a different din for the lower chatzer and the upper chatzer. For the lower chatzer, that wall is considered to be 5 tefachim. Because when they face that wall, they have a 10 tefachim face, or sheer face. They have 5 tefachim of the elevation of the ground, plus the 5 tefachim of the mechitza of the upper chatzer. To them, they see a wall of 10 tefachim, and therefore they have a wall of 10 tefachim around them. On the other hand, for the upper chatzer, they only are looking at a mechitza of 5. Even though they're elevated up 5, but when they look at it, they only have 5. So what Tosafot says is that Rav Chisda's statement is about that upper chatzer.
And in that case, it would be a question about whether the two chatzerot can combine to make a single Arab chatzerot. So as far as the upper one is concerned, is yes, because they don't have a mechitza 10 between them. Because as far as they're concerned, they only have the mechitza of the 5. The elevation is not part of their mechitza, because they don't look at a face that is 10 tefachim high. But as far as the lower one is concerned, no, because they have a mechitza of 10 tefachim between them and the upper chatzer. That's one case. Or the other case is a case where, in Reshut HaRabim, you have a pile that is 5 tefachim high, and then in that pile you have mechitzot around the pile, the top of the pile, that are 5 tefachim high. True that if you put something on top of the wall, that would be considered Reshut HaYachid. But now if you're inside those walls, that would not be considered Reshut HaYachid, even though you have an elevation of 5. And mechitzot of 5, it's only once you're on top of 10 that would segregate you from the Reshut HaRabim. But here, where you're inside those walls that are on top of this pile that is 5 tefachim high, you're not considered to be in Reshut HaYachid. Even though the Gemara there in Shabbat talks about the fact that you could place boards across the top of the walls, and then you'd get a Reshut HaYachid on the top. Tosafot says here, it must be a case where it's so wide that you can't get the boards across the top, and it won't be a Reshut HaYachid. So Tosafot says it's one of those two cases. A case where you have adjacent chatzerot, where one is 5 tefachim higher than the other, plus the mechitza, that the upper chatzer does not deem to have 10 tefachim. Or a case in Reshut HaRabim, where you have a pile 5 tefachim high with mechitzot around the top of it, 5 tefachim high. If you're inside those mechitzot, you're not in a Reshut HaYachid. You must be above the mechitzot in order to be in a Reshut HaYachid, because you're not deemed to have 10 tefachim when you're inside those mechitzot. So that's the two cases that Tosafot says, where this doesn't work, or the din of Rav Chisda would be applicable, because we find throughout the Masechet Shabbat that you can combine these dinim, as long as, again, you see a face that is 10 tefachim high. Darash Memreimar Gidur Chamisha Mechitza Ei Mitztarfim. So Memreimar says that 5 and 5 you can combine. Behilchata Mitztarfim. And the loch is that they are Mitztarif. So the issue with that is, the better you make Rav Chisda's claim, then the harder is to explain why Memreimar says that it still is considered to be 10 tefachim. But the halach is, like Reimar, that it is 10 tefachim. Supposedly, according to Tosafot, but even those cases, he would be considered a Reshut HaYachid. Whereas according to Rashi, that these are the standard cases in the Masechet Shabbat. So Rashi basically makes Rav Chisda the fall guy, because in the end, Reimar is going to say that this all works. So Rashi says, all those cases in Shabbat, those are all based on Reimar's position, that Gidur and Mechitza work. And that's why they are Mitztareif. Whereas Rav Chisda is going against all those Gemaras, and that's why the halacha is not like it. Tosafot, again, narrows the scope of Rav Chisda down to these narrow cases where Rav Chisda is saying this, and along comes Reimar to say, even in those cases, they are mitztareif, and that the halacha is that they are mitztareif, even in those cases. Bai ilfa. So again, now the Gemara again is going to continue with the non sequitur, which is, can you combine different methodologies or different takanot?
The same thing that we just saw here with Rav Chista saying that you can't combine Takanat Chachamim and Kiyum Aget. You can't combine Gidud and Mechitza. So too, we're going to do another thing here with Netilat Yadayim, which is Vayofa. Yadayim Tehorot, the Chatzayin, or Ain Tehorot, the Chatzayim. Can you be Mitaher? Can you wash your hands and make them Tehor? Separately. Hey Chidomi, what's the case here? Ilema the Kamashu Beitrei Mirevit. If you say that there are two people washing from a single Revit, Vatnan, Mirevit, Notim Liadayim Lechad, Vafilu Lishnaim. If you start out with a cup that has a Revit of water in it, then you can, one person is going to wash their hands, and then the second person is going to wash his hands with the residual water in the cup, because it came from a cup that started with a Revit Maim inside of it. So that can't be the question here. The Gemara's original thought is that two people, we're talking about two people, can they both get their hands Torim from a single cup of water that is a Revit? Gemara says it's not even a question. That's an explicit Mishnah, that if you start out with the requisite amount of water you need for Netilat Yadayim Revit, then you can wash your hands, and a second person can also wash their hands, meaning that you don't need a full cup. In this case, the problem is that each one of them is getting half a shiur of the revi'it. The Mishnah says that it's fine, kevin to mikar of a shiur of a kate misharei tara. Says it started out with a shiur there, and it comes from a sharei tara. It's a residual of something that had the requisite amount in it. You can use it for two different people. So the Gemara says, no, this is the question. Ela de kamashi chada, chada yodek. It's a case where he's washing each one of his hands individually. What the Gemara says now, the question of Ilfa is can you wash each of your hands independently? So now the Gemara says, Vatsanan, that's a mission as well. Hanotel yado achat minitila, vachat bishtifa, yadav teorot. If he washes one hand through nitila tidaim, and he washes the other hand by dipping it into the river, or dipping it into a mikveh, torot. That seems to be that there's no problem washing your hands separately. So now here you have a major machok between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, as to how to explain this Gemara, and also changes the Lashon here from, according to Rashi, it has to be Vitanya, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's a Vitanan, which is, what was the question of the Gemara here? Rashi says, when it says one hand and one hand, he says, we want to know, can you wash your hand and then wash the other hand? Instead of washing both of them together, can you wash one hand and then wash the other hand? So then he brings down, if he does one through Netilat Yadayim and one through Shtifa, then it works. So what it shows you is that each hand is independent of the other hand, because I can use two methodologies to deal with each hand. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Tam does not like this. He says, the Kaperish Bekunshis, and he says, Eichi Pashi Mihocha. What proof do you have from the Braita, or the Mishnah that is brought over here? Because in the Braita and the Mishnah, he's washing them simultaneously. He's washing his one hand, and he's dipping the other hand into the river at the same time. So it's Bevat Achat. It's happening simultaneously. How can you prove from the fact that when he does that simultaneously, it works? So what you're trying to understand, now if he washes one hand and then goes and washes the other hand, that it'll be fine. Those are separated by time. Those are zuachar zu. So that's why the Rabbeinu Tam has an issue with Rashi, which is Rashi's proof from the Mishnah of the Braita that they bring over here only tells you that you can do both hands simultaneously through different methodologies. It doesn't tell you that you could do each hand separately. That you can't learn out of that Mishnah or the Braita. Something sequentially, we're trying to understand if it works from something that is he's doing it simultaneously, as you point out. It has to be a case where someone's pouring in one hand and he's dipping the other hand into the river. There's no difference. Rabbeinu Tam invokes the principle for Rashi, which throughout Shas, which is that if it doesn't work sequentially, it doesn't work simultaneously. Meaning that the two have to work. If it doesn't work sequentially, it won't work simultaneously. If it doesn't work simultaneously, it won't work sequentially. The two have to work in either case, and therefore it should be okay. Others just say that, how does Rabbeinu Tam know that it's a case of Bevat Achat? It's very hard to read the Mishnah's Bevat Achat because then you need another party to be involved. It'd be much easier to read that Mishnah as being Bezo Achar Zo, and then it would be a corroboration of what we are saying over here. And that's the way that other Rishonim read it in defense of Rashi. Again, obviously, this connects back to the previous case,
Because here he's using one hand through Netilat Yadayim, which is the Takanat Chachamim, and one Taharav Yadayim through dipping in the mikveh, which is the normal way of Tahara. So you're combining two different methodologies for Tarat Yadayim, and yet it still works. And so that's what connects this to the previous sugya. Are you able to use two different methodologies for being Metaher the Yadayim? The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says the case here is like this. Rabbeinu Tam Goros, Al Pi HaMishnayot, Natal Yado Achat, Mishtifa Achat, Yado Tehora. That he says that what's brought over here is a brighter, but what's really found in the Mishnah is this. If he washed his hand, Mishtifa Achat, with one pouring, Yado Tehora. The Kaposhit, Miniktani Yado Tehora, Shma Mino, Dechad Achad Mehanyo. So it shows you that one by one works. V'hachi peirusho. And this is the explanation, mishtifa achat, shetzarich lishpoch menakliya yadav bet peyamim. Normally when you wash netilat yadayim, you have to pour on your water on your hands twice. You pour water on the first time to wash the hand and take the tumah to the water. The second washing removes the tamei water from the hand. And therefore you have to pour twice. In masechta yadayim, it also says that if you do it in a shtifa achat, you do one pouring, that's the equivalent of two pourings, that's okay. You don't have to do two separate pourings, you have to pour once, stop, and then pour a second time. If you pour the equivalent amount of water in one shot on the hand, it's the equivalent of pouring twice onto the hand. This halacha that the Rabbeinu Tam is bringing here is actually passed in the halacha, that if you pour the amount of water that you would have poured in two pourings onto your hand in a single shot, that is fine for netilat yadayim. And generally, we assume that revit mayim is the minimum required for netilat yadayim. Again, technically, revit mayim is enough for two hands, so that you only need half a revit to do this, but you need to start at least with the revit mayim in order to do this. Today, because we're choshish for the shita of the Rishonim that say ad perek means to the wrist, we probably need more than revit mayim in order to accomplish that. If you believe, like Rashi, it means only until the knuckles, then pouring with the revit mayim makes a lot of sense. You could cover the tops of your fingers with the revit mayim on both hands. Today, again, we probably need more than revit mayim only because we are choshesh for a larger area that we want to wash on the hands. But now, what the Rabbeinu Tam says is, ve'al zeh kamar, im natol yado achat mishtifa achat gedola ki ish shtayim, if you pour one big pouring on your hand, that is equivalent of two, yado tehora, then his yad is tehora. Kemen sheyesh mishtifa zu kashir mayim rishonim v'shniim. Because in that pouring, you have enough for the first waters and the second waters. And then, and then the seifa ends, if you do both of your hands in one pouring, Rabbi Meir mitamei, actually told me revi'it, until you pour from revi'it. Even though when you wash two hands, you don't have to do that. You can just start with the revi'it. As long as you start with the revi'it, the second water does not matter. Hashta the lek al shtifa achat tzrich revi'it b'shtifa zu. Aval yodo achat ein tzrich revi'it. But one hand doesn't need a whole revi'it. Ke'atu misharei tara. When it comes to the residual tara, el shdeoto shtifa meruba kishtayim. Just has to have as much water as two. So the Rabbeinu Tam's proof is from the fact that the Mishnah says yado tehora. That is, yad is tahor. And you see from that that each hand independently can become tehora. And that the shtifa, if you do it on both hands at once, then there's a question if you need a full revi'it in order to do a single shtifa. But if you do each hand independently, then you can pour as much water as you would need for two washings of that hand. And then you can go to the second hand and pour the residual on it, just like by regular netilat yadayim. If you start with the revi'it, the residual can be used because it's mishairei tahara. And so therefore the shtifa achat works on one hand, shtifa achat on the other hand, and the proof here is the fact that each yad is independently tehora. So you see that they are not dependent on each other, because the Mishnah says, yado tehora, that his hand is tahor when he pours a shtifa achat, like two, on his hand, and it's not connected or dependent on washing of the second hand. So what you see here is that when you separate out the hands, there's a different din than when you pour enough water, one shtifa achat, onto one hand. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the question over here is, kamashi chad achad ol yodei. The question is not like Rashi says, I'm independently washing each hand, does that work? And then we prove it from the braita that you wash one hand and you dip the other hand into the river. But rather, mashi chad achad means that I do it through one shtifa. I do one pouring on each hand. Does that suffice? Does that work? So even though
Normally, we would say that you need to have a revi'it mayim for each hand in order to do this. But when you have a residual from a revi'it, it works. So too over here. That's what he brings the Mishnah. It'll tell you a da'achat. A person who does it b'shtifa achat, that he takes his hand and he pours one pouring on it, tehora, that works. So you don't need a full revi'it for the second hand. What you can do is independently wash each hand with a single pouring. And that's what the Rabbeinu Tam learns from here, that a single pouring on each hand works. Even though you started with revi'it mayim and the second hand is starting with less than revi'it mayim, that's enough because you just need enough water. That's the equivalent of two pourings on each hand. And so the question was, can you do a single pouring on each hand? The answer is yes. Just like you could pour twice on this hand and twice on the other hand, even though you only started with a revi'it mayim, because it's from Sherei Tara, the same thing is true when you do it with a single pouring. If you pour a single pouring on one hand, you don't need to start with a revi'it for the pouring on the second hand. You can continue with the Sherei Tara and do the single pouring on the second hand. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam reads as the question and the answer of the Gemara over here, because of his problem with the proof, according to Rashi Shita. Whereas the Tosfot reads the question as being, v'hu adin, Natalya do echad v'nigva, v'chazar v'natalya do acheret tohorot, that if he washed the first hand, dried it off completely, then washed the second hand, that it works. So he sees the question as being, can you wash each hand independently of the other hand? And the answer is yes, based on the brayta that we bring, which is, you can do one hand through netilat yadayim, one hand through shtifa. So you see that each hand can act independently of the other hand. So then the Gemara says, Ella, so what is the question? The Kamashi palga palga diyode. He washes his hands half at a time. As Rashi says over here, ada perek have a mitzvat netilah. Until the perek is mitzvat netilah, what that perek is subject to machloket. Is the perek the wrist, or is the perek the knuckles? So if you say that the perek is the wrist, then halfway would be up to the knuckles. And then he means he washes half up to the knuckles, and he washes the other half afterwards between the knuckles and the wrist. Or if you think that the knuckles is the perek, then to the first joints of your fingers would be halfway, and then the other one would be from the first joints to the knuckles would be the second half. The question is, if you do it half-half, does that work? So the Gemara says, Ramre debe Rabbi Yana, Yadayim ain taharot lechatzayin. Yadayim can't be tahor halfway. No, lo tzricha dika mashke tofeach. That the first part of the half that you did is still moist. So since it's still moist, you're still in the process of doing netilat yadayim. When you do the second half of the hand, is that considered to be washing the whole hand? Or it says, v'chi mashke tofeach mayhavi. Even if they're still moist, why does that help you? Batznan. All right, I'm going to read a little more, but we're going to have to go over this tomorrow because this is a very significant sugya in terms of just this in of itself. But I just want to end off in the middle here, batznan. Hanitzok v'katafres. If you have a pour, something that's pouring, or you have a sharp angled decline, umashke tofeach, and you have moisture along that continuum, enu chibor, lo lutuma v'lo lutahara. That is not sufficient grounds to connect two different bodies of water. That's whether one body of water is tahor and one's tamei. To make the other body tamei, it's not a chibor. Or if you're talking about two mikvaot, you have one in mikvah that's 20 sa, one mikvah that's 20 sa, and you need to combine them. Having a moist continuum or pouring water is not a sufficient chibor between these two items. So therefore, that cannot be the case over here. You can't say that half his hand being moist is enough. Lo tzricha dika tofeach latfiach. Says it's a case where he has what's otherwise known as tofeach almanat latfiach. It's enough moisture that not only is that moist, but it will make something else moist. And so these come up in halacha with regards to Tisha B'Av and other times where you're not allowed to wash your body. How much water can you put on the body? What can you touch to your eyes? And there's a difference between tofeach and tofeach amnat latfiach. This comes a significant measurement within the dinim of washing. But over here now, the Gemara says, this is the question. He washed the first half of the hand, and now there's still moisture on the hand. Not just moisture that it's moist, but moisture that if you touched it, the other item would become moist itself and have moisture on it. So it's tofeach amnat latfiach. Then he washes the second hand while the first part of the hand, the first half of the hand, still has that amount of moisture on it. Is that allowed in terms of creating a full washing of the hand? Is that considered to be a washing of the whole hand? Or is that washing of half hand, which we already saw, Rabbi Yana says, Ein tarot dechatzayim. You can't make hands tahor halfway. So you have to have a residual left in the first tahara that allows you to continue the second tahara. How do you connect between them? Right now, the Gemara is speculating that tofeach amnat latfiach is enough moisture that will allow you to be that as if you're washing the whole hand and not half-half. Again, we'll continue with this sugya tomorrow. We're stopping here on the top of Tetzayin Amud Aleph, three lines down.